Can I invite you tonight to turn to God's precious truth, to the book of Psalm. Psalm chapter 34, please. And when we're turning up to God's precious word, can I take this opportunity of thanking your pastor and the session of this church for inviting me here this evening to share a personal word of testimony of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in my life. You know, folks, he's a great saviour. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. 7.5 years ago, I truly couldn't say that. But 7.5 years ago, folks, tonight, a Sunday night, the Lord's night, I have been found out in the pubs and the clubs as a doorman for the world. But thank the Lord, tonight, 7.5 years later, I'm still a doorman. But the difference is I'm a doorman for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm inviting you tonight to open up your heart's door and to let this wonderful Saviour in. Let's read chapter 34, starting off reading the first one, please. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him, and they were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. Here we see that the Lord Jesus Christ saves. But not only does he save, we see here in verse 7 that he keeps. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. And here we see in verse 8 that he satisfies. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Folks, this verse 9. O fear the Lord. I want to repeat that one more time. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Just with the word of God open before us, just let's unite our hearts in a wee word of prayer and ask for the Lord's leading and the Lord's guidance here this evening. Our loving God and our gracious, eternal, loving Heavenly Father, we give thee thanks once again for the precious word of truth. You've said in thy word that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. Lord, we ask, dear Lord, tonight, Lord, that you'll take the word of God. And Lord, you'll plant it in some pure heart and redeem some pure soul. Take me now, Lord, afresh, Lord. Use me for the glory of my lovely Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And once again, Lord, I confess, Lord, that I need empty from self and sin and that stinking old diseased pride. Create into me now that clean spirit, Lord, that's fit for the Master's work. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you'll cover this building in the blood. Anything that Satan may have, Lord, to disturb this meeting, we pray, dear Lord, that you'll rebound it right into the very pit of hell. Lord, we pray, dear Lord, above all things tonight, Lord, that thy name will be simply glorified. Take the name of Keith Shields now, Lord, and hide it far behind the cross, that nobody will be seen or heard but the lovely Saviour. Lord, we pray above all things, we'll give you all the honour and all the glory for thee, and thee alone are worthy. For it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. You know, folks, truly, I'm only a sinner. But I thank the Lord, a sinner saved by grace. You know, I'm saved by grace, and I'm kept by grace, and I thank the Lord that one day that I'm going to go home to heaven by grace. You know, didn't the hymn writer penned those beautiful words, though many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. This grace that's brought me safe this far, and I thank the Lord it will be grace that will lead me home. You know, I stand here simply tonight as a trophy of grace of what the Lord Jesus Christ can do in a life. So then to God be the glory for great things he hath done in my life. Great things he hath done in my life. You know, I always mention this psalm, Psalm 91 and verse 14, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore, will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. And folks, I just wonder tonight in this meeting, does the Lord Jesus Christ know your name? Well, of course he knows your name, because that's the omnipotence of God, all-knowing and all-powerful. But what I am asking, is your name written in the Lamb's book of life in heaven? You know, the Word of God tells us in Revelations 20 and 15, and whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's book of life, listen folks, was cast into hell. Now I want to say something tonight. There's two things that will take you to hell. Two things will take you to hell, folks. And that is you refuse to accept God's way of salvation. And that was through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know something, folks? The other thing simply is, and you listen to the lie and the deceit of the devil. He ended up deceiving you. You know, the Word of God simply tells there in Revelations 20 and 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into a lake of fire and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Folks, listen, hell's real. Hell is a prepared place for a prepared people, and yet people take it so lightly. People take it so lightly, and Satan's just simply laughing their souls right into the very dams of hell this very night. You know something, folks? Be not deceived, for God is not mocked. I was just thinking there, me and my wife there, about 4 years ago, we went to View House. And we went in through the house anyway, and folks, I'm sure the estate agent thought to himself, this big massive room at the back of this house is definitely going to sell this house. And folks, I remember that man opening up that door, and me and the wife coming in. It was a big massive extension onto the back of it. And there was a big massive pool table, a massive TV up on the wall. And there in the corner was a makeshift bar. But folks, that didn't annoy me. Do you know what annoyed me, folks? Was the plaque that was on the wall. The plaque up on the wall, folks, made me tremble. And this is exactly what that plaque said. If there's no beer in heaven, I don't want to be there. If there's no beer in heaven, I don't want to be there. Well, I thank the Lord tonight that there is no beer in heaven. But there's fountains of living water, folks. And I want to say something tonight also. There's no beer in hell also. I tell you, better or not, there's not even a drop of water in hell. The Word of God tells us in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through to 31, about a rich man in hell. And folks, let me tell you something. That rich man still is in hell. And he's still crying from the bottom of his heart. And you know, some folks, whenever he came and I read that about that rich man, it makes me tremble. And yet people take hell so lightly. And sadly tonight, folks, so does Christians. So does Christians, folks. You remember the story? And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeing Abraham afar off. And what did he cry? Abraham, send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And folks, I have had an opportunity of going about and speaking for my lovely Saviour in so many places. And folks, you know something? Most of the churches be full because I've come to hear about Northern Ireland 105, Northern Ireland's strongest man. I want to tell you something tonight, folks. I never mention it in my testimony. I never mention it. I'm sure whenever I won that competition, Satan thought that I have this man. He's going to go on to higher things, and he's going to start needling. He's going to start taking steroids. But little did he know that the Lord's hand was upon this man. And I thank the Lord it draws crowds in. But I have great, better, much better news to tell you tonight. And that's about the love of my lovely Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the way I stand here tonight to warn you about your soul, folks. The most precious thing that you own. You know, the Word of God tells me in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, and the Lord God formed man and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And folks, if we break that down, it's into three parts. And the Lord God formed man. And truly, that's what we are, folks. We're given from God. and breathe into his nostrils the breath of life. And truly every heartbeat that's ticking here tonight, folks, is given from the Almighty God. You know, Job was able to say, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But folks, a man became a living soul. You know, your soul is the most precious thing that you own, because your soul will never cease to exist. Yes, the old flesh, it will die and it will waste away. And how Job reminds us of that in Job 14 and verse 10. Yeah, but man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man give up the ghost, the soul, and where is he? In the impact of death, folks, your soul will determine where you will spend all of life's eternity. God's heaven or God's hell. You know, the Word of God tells me in Mark 8 and 36, what should a profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And you know, folks, as a young boy, brought up in a Christian home, a very godly home, folks, I knew the scriptures from knee high. But you know, Satan's powerful, folks. Don't underestimate the devil. Because as a young boy, 8, 9, 10 years of age, Satan so often told me, you could not be a sinner, Keith. Your mum and dad's Christians. In fact, your father's an elder in Brother William McCrae's church. Well, it's not William McCrae's church. It's the Lord's church. And how would a holy God send you to hell? Now, let me tell you what a sinner is, Keith. A sinner is somebody that grows up 15, 16 and goes out to the pubs and the clubs, picks drink and drugs. Keith, that's what a sinner is. You're not a sinner. You're too young to be a sinner. Let me tell you something tonight, folks. Behold, I was shapen an iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. I was a sinner from birth, folks. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But as a young boy, I developed two fears in my life, and two fears that really haunted me as a young boy. And that was death and judgment. I knew one day that I was going to leave this scene of time. And you know, the Word of God simply tells us in Hebrews 9 and 27, it's appointed unto man that wants to die. It's appointed unto man that must die. And after this, the judgment. You know, it goes on to say there in Romans, in Romans 14 and verse 12, so then every one of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Every one of us. And you know some folks, as a young boy, I feared death. You see, I knew the story. You know, we almost needs die because of the fall in the Garden of Eden over 6,000 years ago. You know, the first Adam rebelled in the Garden of Eden and brought sin and death into this world. But I thank the Lord tonight, the last Adam being the Lord Jesus Christ, he submitted in the Garden of Gethsemane and he brought life and salvation to all who will believe. And as a young boy haunted of death, I thank the Lord tonight at the age of 43 years of age, I have no fear whatsoever of death. Praise the Lord, death for the believer is only a doorway that leads us into heaven. And yes, we can say, O death, where is thy sting? And O grave, where is thy victory? I praise the Lord tonight that over 2,000 years ago it was swallowed up in Calvary. You know that lovely Psalm 116 and verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And you know, I wasn't long safe till there was a godly lady who was telling me this story about a beautiful lady from Ballymena. And she had come to death's door. And her husband was a pastor. And for 3 hours, they tell me that she could not speak. She was just simply drifting out of conscience and back into the game. And they reckon this was just her last few hours here in this scene of time. And this was her last words, folks, in this scene of time. She was able to get power to put her hands towards heaven. And she held on to her husband's hands. And she got the power to squeeze her husband's hands, folks. And this is the words that she spoke. She says, Joe, do you see him? Isn't he absolutely beautiful? Her hands came down by her side, folks. And she took one gasp. And she went home to glory. You know, folks, that's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. They say when that lady was lying in that coffin, she had still that beautiful smile. But, folks, I want to say something tonight. It's so different for those that die out of Christ. I know a man. And let me tell you something, he's a very godly man. And many's a time he would have spoke to his uncle about salvation. And his uncle had the same experience. Death's door. But folks, he didn't cry out like that lady. You know his last words in this scene of time was, "Oh hell, oh hell, oh hell." And folks, you know something, as a young boy, I was always tricked into that trick. Wait to some other time, thief. Wait to deathbed repentance. There's a such thing as deathbed repentance. Yes, there certainly is. But let me tell you something, folks, it doesn't always happen. Because I'm going to say something tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ is not always found, or he's not always near. And that sounds strange, but folks, listen to me. That's not the words of Keith Shields. That's the words of the precious Word of God. The Word of God tells me there in Isaiah 55 and verse 6, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call ye upon him while he is near." But folks, I started to grow up a bit more. 13, 14, went to high school, folks. And sadly today, tonight, and I mean sadly tonight, my life turned for the worst. And for many years of my life, from the age of 15, 16, I vowed that I would never be inside a church door again. This wasn't for me. At the age of 19, I was like the prodigal son. I packed my bags and I went to Australia, folks, for one full year. Come back at the age of 20. And from the age of 20 to the age of 35, I want to tell you something tonight, folks. I was deep in sin. And I mean deep in sin. My wife normally comes with me everywhere where I testify. And she can verify this, folks. I broke that lady's heart. Because from that very young age, I'd become a doorman right throughout the pubs and the clubs of our town. And folks, as many as a time, and I broke my mother and father's heart. And there's many as a time my father cried himself to sleep because of this boy. I want to say something tonight in this meeting, folks. Sin will take you a lot further than you want to go. And I mean a lot further than you want to go. I had a wee boy at 6 years of age, Stephen, crying one Saturday morning, "Daddy, please don't take Daddy away." My wife crying, folks, was arrested for GBH. How, at that stage, I stayed out of jail. I don't understand. But truly, I can say the grace of the Lord was even upon this man, even at that very age. You know something, folks, that's all I lived for was the pleasures of sin. I want to say something tonight. There's no pleasures in sin, and it is only for a season. I bodyguarded that so-called half-wit of a girl, Jordan, you've probably heard about. And if you haven't heard about her, praise the Lord for that. But she's evil. She's an evil girl, folks. Let me tell you something. When she was in that club, and I was standing beside her with her own personal bodyguard, Big Dave, Dave says to me, "Keith, what do you see towards the end of the night? There's no holding her back." And truly, once the drugs went into her, folks, I can tell you something now. Her whole personality changed. And I want to say something tonight. You see, before the night was over, when the lights went out, I seen that girl in tears coming down from that high. You see, we see all these film stars, pop stars, and they're all painted up to be glossy. Can somebody in this meeting tonight to tell me why Britney Spears tried to commit suicide on 4 occasions? I tell you why. There's an empty void in her heart. The Lord Jesus Christ says that I have come that you might have life. And praise the Lord, you might have it more abundantly. You know, he's a great Savior, folks. I love him more than anything. But here I was, deep in sin, folks. Caught into the strong man game. Oh yes, won a stupid Mickey Mouse competition. 105 Northern Ireland Strongest Man. This was allowing me to go across to Essex in England to represent Northern Ireland. And 105, Britain's Strongest Man. But you know something, the Lord had different plans. It's hard to believe that I could pick an injury way back then. And it's hard to believe that this Thursday I'm going in for a day procedure in my back, folks. The bottom bit of my back because of that sport is totally and utterly banjoed. But you know something, the Lord's been good, you know. And I mean good. But here I was, folks, deep into sin. But I thank the Lord Jesus Christ that His mercies endureth forever. I pray on mother and father that prayed for this wayward boy for 35 years, folks. And here I was, folks, standing outside a not evil place called the Black Horse. It's a place where the traveling community drunk. They weren't allowed into any other bar. And in this bar, folks, this is where the traveling community drunk on a pile of ones from a hostel that was in Cookstown. They couldn't get into any other bar. They were barred out everywhere. And here I was standing outside this den of iniquity. But folks, I'll never forget one night. I was standing, oh yes, those two fears as a young boy well drifted away in my life. And here I was standing outside this club that night. And I happened to glance up to the traffic lights. And here was a band of young Christian believers had a seal for the Lord's work, handing out gospel tracts, one heartbeat away from heaven or hell. But folks, for the first time from the age of a young boy, those two fears drifted back into my life in a mighty and a powerful way. You know, sometimes we walk past people and we look upon them and think there's no hope. Folks, you know something? There was no hope in this man's life. I can assure you now, it's only by the grace of God, and I mean that, that I'm standing here tonight able to testify of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in my life. But here they were, these young believers was handing out gospel tracts, and these people that was coming down to go into this club. And folks, I want to tell you something now. I trembled. I trembled. What I seen happened. They took the word of God, boys, and they ripped them into pieces and they threw them up under the air, folks. And there they started to mock the Lord Jesus Christ. And a thought came into my heart. If they were to die tonight, they will realize that there is a place called hell. And as quick as I thought that, folks, the Lord Jesus Christ said to me, if they're to die tonight and you're also to die, Keith, you'll also know that there's a such place called hell. Because that's what you're bound for. And folks, I trembled that night. I remember them going in past and the big doorman beside me. Once them had done, there was numerous tracks that wasn't ripped. I remember going across and lifting them off the road in the footpaths. I remember coming home the next day and putting them in the table, folks. Let me tell you something now. The Lord Jesus Christ is not mocked. You know, there's so much mockers and scoffers, and we ought not to be surprised, because towards the end days, this is what's going to arise more and more. My father worked with one of these men. Not one of these men that was coming down to this club, but one of these mockers and scoffers. And he used to wait till the dinner dinner place was all full. And then he would start mocking and twisting the word of God. And there was one day there was a changeover of shifts. And this young man was coming across the forecourt. And this is the words he said to my father, folks. He says, Cecil. He says, you see, if there's a such place as hell, I'll see you there. My father's words back to that man was, that's one place you'll never see me in. And my father told me he laughed the whole way till he went across to get onto that motorbike. He jumped onto that motorbike, folks, listen. And that was the last words he ever spoke in this scene of time. He hit a tractor and a trailer on the way home. Be not deceived, for God is not mocked. And truly, folks, I thank the Lord for striving with me for one more month after that. One more month after that. It was the 27th of the 3rd, 2005. And if you record that back again, it was an Easter Sunday. And folks, I remember coming down the stairs as normal on a Sunday. You see, my life consists of Wednesday nights clubbing, Thursday nights door work, Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night. And folks, that was my life, truly. I never seen my wife ever on an Easter Sunday night, Christmas night, or New Year's Eve night. I never spent it with my wife until I gave my life to Christ. So you can imagine what our home was like, folks. The devil, I'm telling you something now, had an awful grip on this man. But I remember coming down on the 27th of the 3rd, 2005. And folks, I want to say something tonight. I can truly say, there's so many people say to me, how do you know there's a God? Well, folks, I can truly say from the bottom of my heart, I know there's a God, because He lives within inside my heart. And I remember coming down the stairs that morning, And I remember plopping myself onto that seat. Just a normal Sunday to me, folks. And the Spirit of the Triune God come in a powerful and a mighty way, folks. I remember lying in that seat. And simply after dinner time, folks, I started to dwell on the Lord Jesus Christ. Why the Lord Jesus Christ had to leave the splendors of heaven to come down into this sin-cursed world. And listen, folks, to go the whole way to the cross of Calvary and to die for a sinful sinner such as Keith Shields. And you see, the more I thought on Calvary, folks, and the suffering of the cross of my lovely Saviour, my heart melted. And you see that old stony heart, folks, I want to say something tonight. It was melting as the seconds was going by that day. And you know something, folks? There was times I was trying to hold back the tears. My wife never, ever seen me cry. And yet I was dwelling on my where I was going to spend eternity. I knew if I was to die, that I was damned in hell for all eternity. Folks, you know something? I often think like this. If hell was for 1,000 years, at least there's hope at the end of the tunnel. But I'm telling you something tonight, folks. If you're to die without the Lord Jesus Christ and go to a lost eternity, there is no hope. And as I dwelt on my lovely Saviour, and you know some folks, whenever I thought what he had to endure, how they spit upon him and plucked his beautiful beard, and how they took him into the common hall, those old 600 rotten Roman soldiers, and how they made fun of my lovely Saviour. And folks, I want to say something tonight. My Saviour was a man. He was a man, the God-man. But he endured that for all my sins and for all your sins also. My wife said to me about 10 to 9, Keith, what time are you supposed to be in at tonight? And the words I said to my wife was, I'm supposed to be in around about 10 o'clock. I remember getting up and heading up the stairs, folks, into the bathroom. And I want to say something tonight. And I'm not proud to say this. I was many's a row with a fist in the feet. And I want to tell you something tonight. In that bathroom, it was the biggest row that I was ever in. And there wasn't a fist or a foot lifted. Satan come, as he normally does, folks. Just like tonight in this meeting. If the Spirit of God's taking a deal with your soul, I'll tell you something. You're going to be in a battle. Because Satan told me every trick he had in the book for about 15 minutes in that bathroom. Keith, you're going through a phase. You're going to make a mockery of the whole thing. You know what you're going to do? You're going to ask the Lord into your heart. And then next week you're going to be looking back at the clubs. How are you going to do without all that raw cash? Look at the living that you're having. And then you know the trick that he hit me with. How are you going to tell all your friends? All those big doormen. How are you going to tell them that you've given your life to Christ? They'll think you've become soft. Let me tell you something, folks. It takes a true hard man to stand for Christ, to hold the scriptures, and to be able to walk down the road. You see, the sinner is afraid to take that precious word of God. Because you know why? He's a wimp. He wants to stay with the crowd. He wants to stay with the crowd, folks. I praise the Lord tonight that my strength is not in my body. My strength is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to say something tonight, folks. Your friends may laugh you into hell, but you're one sure thing, they'll never laugh you out of it. And Satan hit me with every trick in the book. And I thank the Lord Jesus Christ that he only spoke the once. Genesis 6 and verse 3. My spirit shall not always strive with man. And I want to just explain that tonight in this meeting, folks. That the Spirit of God is striving with your soul tonight. And you were to reject the Lord Jesus Christ, you may as well be even damned in hell. Because let me tell you something, folks. You could sit in every meeting between now and to the day and hour you die. And let me tell you something. You'll never give your life to Christ. Salvation belongs to the Lord God. And I thank the Lord for that night. But yet Satan was holding on to the last, folks. And I remember just simply praying, saying, Lord, just give me one more verse in the Bible. I'm only looking for one more verse in the Bible with the tears dripping out of my eyes. And folks, I remember going into the spare room where the Bibles used to be kept, where I thought they were kept. And I remember, folks, pulling open that bottom drawer and I couldn't even find a Bible. And Satan's last words was to me before I gave my life to Christ was, "See, Keith, the Lord doesn't want to save you." I remember hoking and poking, panicking, looking at the Bible. But there was 8 sheets of paper, folks, that I had pulled out from that bottom drawer. I can't wait to get home to heaven. Because I'm going to say, "Lord, did you do a miracle in my home?" Because those 8 sheets of paper were written out by a young man who had a concern for my soul as a young boy. 14, 15 years of age. You know, he hears my father probably pray for me in the prayer meeting, and he had a burden in his heart probably to write these out for me, these 8 sheets of paper. And I remember him handing them those to me in church. And here, 25 years later, this is what I had found, folks. 8 sheets of paper. You know the miracle? You see the 8th sheet, folks? It was sitting right at the very tip-top, and you know what it said? Just how to give your life to the Lord. I'll never forget that night to the day and hour the Lord calls me home. I just was broken. I cried like a baby. I remember coming down the stairs. And I just remember just meeting my wife in the utility room. With tears running out of my eyes, I says, "Esther, I'll be back shortly." Remember jumping into the car. You know what I said, folks? I says, "Lord, just spare me to get to the top of Slieve Galleon, which is a mountain 4 mile from where I live at." I says, "I want to surrender my life to you." And folks, I remember driving down that road, crying like a baby. And I remember, folks, an awful fear coming over me because I still hadn't repented from my sin. And I remember thinking to myself, if I was to crash this car, or if the Lord was to return now, I still haven't cried out to the Lord to save me. I remember pulling the wee side road, folks, at the bottom of that mountain. And I remember simply throwing my head on top of that steering wheel and praying the sinner's prayer. A simple wee prayer, just something like this, folks. "Lord, forgive me for every sin that I have ever committed against thee." And I want to say something tonight in this meeting, folks. There was many a sin in this man's life. But I thank the Lord tonight that every sin is covered in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's every sin. You know, the Word of God tells us in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know something, folks? There was a change in my life like that. You know, old Satan, the devil, thought that I was heading to Clubland that night on the 27th of the 3rd. But I thank the Lord tonight from the bottom of my heart, I was heading that night for salvation. You know, I love that verse in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new." You know something, folks? I come back home, and the whole way up in that car, I remember as a little toddler, been brought up in that Christian home, the Friday night meetings. And here for the first time in my life, here I was singing the children's choruses. I remember ramming through the back door with excitement in my heart. I remember throwing my arms around my wife, folks. And I remember saying, "Esther, there's going to be changes in our home. And I'm sorry for everything that I've ever put you through." And folks, I put that woman through some stuff. I truly mean that. I thank the Lord for my wife. She's the only one that ever could have stuck me, to be quite honest with you. But you know something? The father that prayed for me for 35 years was in holidays. And my heart was pounding to get to that phone. And I remember dialing the number. And I'm sure my father, when he seen my number coming up on his phone, thought, what is this boy going to come out with? And I remember having the joy on the phone of saying, "Dad, you know, I've surrendered my life to your lovely Saviour." I says, "Dad, you know something, it's the greatest thing that I've ever done." And there we rejoiced on the phone. The young man that wrote out those 8 sheets of paper. I remember phoning Davy, and I says, "Davy, you know something, I've given my life to Christ." And Davy landed that night at 11:45. And I remember going into the front room, and I remember getting on my knees. And a simple wee prayer, folks, just thanking the Lord for saving me. You know some folks, that's what the Lord loves. Childlike faith prayers. Not these scribes and Pharisees to be heard if they're much speaking.
You know, some folks, I believe, our country is full of men like that today. I'm not standing here criticizing. But you know something, it's a prayer from the heart that the Lord rejoices in. And folks, I can say something tonight. The Lord truly had made a change in our home. Because shortly after that, I seen my wife saved. I had a young boy at 17, Stephen. And I've seen Stephen saved. And I've seen my beautiful wee youngster, Gemma, at 8 years of age, saved and gone on with the Lord. You know, there's nothing sweeter than able to sit around the family table and for a wee girl at 8 years of age to say, "Daddy, I say grace today." You know, the Lord has made a mighty change in her life. I've spoke tonight about two fears, two stupid dreams that happened in my life, which truly, truly, folks, brought no happiness in my life. I want to just simply finish off with speaking about two promises. And maybe your heart's heavy and you've been searching for rest, folks. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ says? "Come on to me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden." And he says, "I will give you rest. And he that cometh unto me," the word of God says, "I will in no ways cast out." Oh, my friend, just call upon him tonight. Romans 10 and verse 13 simply tells us, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And what a promise that just is. Just to think tonight that you could leave this building with a new birth. You know, the word of God tells us there in John 3 and verse 3, "Except a man be born again." That's a new birth, folks. A new beginning in your life. He cannot see the kingdom of God. I plead with you tonight just to call him. Call upon him. Just in case tomorrow may be too late, folks. Just in case tomorrow may be too late. That's what saddens me, folks, every time I speak. You know, Proverbs 27 and verse 1 simply tells us, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." And truly, folks, life is truly short. We're only passing through here. And you know, some folks, we're going to leave this scene of time, each and every one of us. And don't let the devil tell you here in this meeting tonight that death's the end. Death just simply means you leave this earth and you pass straight into eternity. And you know, life's short. James 4 and verse 14 tells us, "For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth just simply for a short time, and then it vanisheth away. You know, the clock of life is wound but once, and no man hath the power to tell just when the hand will stop at late or early hour. To lose one's wealth is sad indeed. To lose one's health is more. But to lose one's soul is such a loss that no man can restore." Folks, listen. 39 people died while I read this short poem. 39 people died. Every 1 hour, 5,417 people go to meet their Maker. I want to speak to the believer now. What are you doing to help reach them with the gospel ere they're cast into hell? Hell is the final destiny for the person that refuses to accept God's salvation. And my friends, if you don't repent from your sins, one day you will realize that that flame in hell was for real. And just like that rich man, too late. Too late will be your cry. Too late will be your cry. You know, I often finish off my testimony often speaking about a dear friend. You know, whenever I give my life to Christ, you know what it's like as a newborn babe in Christ, you just want to be fed. And I remember a mission come to Cookstown. But folks, I'll never forget previous about 2 weeks or a month before that, out of 24 doormen, one doorman phoned me, and his name was Francis Campbell, a Roman Catholic. And the words that Francis Campbell said to me on the phone was, "Keith, we miss you. How are you getting on?" And I want to thank the Lord tonight that I had the opportunity as a newborn babe in Christ, not knowing much of the Word of God, but knowing enough to tell Francis that the Lord Jesus Christ loved him also and gave himself for him. You know, I says, "Francis, you're sitting in under the Roman Catholic and the priest is telling you this and the priest is telling you that." And now you know what the priest is doing? He's taking you to a lost eternity. You know, the priest can't do nothing for you. He cannot forgive sins. You know, John 14 and 6 says, Jesus says, I am the way. There's only one way to heaven, folks. And that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I remember telling Francis, it's the greatest thing that I've ever done. Because Francis, if I'm ever to leave this scene of time, I'm safe for all eternity. And the last thing that this dear friend of mine said to me is, Keith, I know that there's something more. But as I say, that mission come to town, I remember going to it. And I remember a converted Roman Catholic from Pole Glass testifying. And folks, you see that meeting? I could not sit in that meeting. Because you know all I could think about? Why did I not bring Francis to hear this? You know, the meeting was over. I remember going up to that young man. I remember saying, brother, you would not have got a copy of that testimony. Because you know, just about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I was speaking to a Catholic fella who used to do door work with mine. I wish just he had been in this meeting tonight listening to you testifying. He put his arms around me, folks. You know what he says? He says, I've got a copy in my car. He says, I put it in there just recently. I said, brother, give it to me, please. Give it to me. And I remember, folks, my ambition was to get to Francis Campbell. Now, I want to tell you about Francis Campbell as I finish. Francis Campbell reminds me so much of that rich man that we read about in Luke chapter 16. Because Francis Campbell was a very wealthy young man. And truly I wondered why Francis Campbell had to stand doing door work. Because he didn't need the money, folks. He sold a massive plot of land and he got over 200,000. And folks, he's left a massive farmyard. A massive farmyard. He lived in a beautiful home, drove a beautiful car. And was going with a wee girl from Australia. And 3 weeks previous from this, my last words to Francis was, the Lord loves you. I got a phone call from another doorman, Padraig. And Padraig says to me, Keith, did you hear about Francis? Now, folks, I do not know why. But for some reason, at the back of my heart, I thought to myself, Francis has got saved. And it was the biggest blow that I took, I believe, in my whole 35 years of life, folks. He says, you remember the big farmyard that Francis was left? And I says, I do. And he says, Francis came out that morning. And Francis walked down into that barn. And Francis took a rope. And Francis committed suicide. And I often think, folks, if Francis Campbell could be back in this meeting tonight, folks, listen to me very carefully. He would beg you to give your life to the Saviour, lest you also go to that place of torment. You know, we're in a battle in this whole world, folks. And Satan's ripe. Satan's ripe, folks. You know what he wants to do? He's no other ambition in life but to damn your soul in a lost eternity in hell. That's his ambition, folks. And yet you're sitting tonight, still in the day of grace, still another opportunity. And yet tonight, folks, you may walk out through that door for the last time and go to that awful place. Oh, come to the Saviour, I pray. And make no delay, for here tonight in his word, he has shown us the way. I'm finishing off with Psalm 34 and verse 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him from all his fears. May the Lord give you the grace to call upon him this very night. Amen.